Hello everyone, welcome to the Angels Wing Weekend Chat with June Espresso, Johannes Rubble and Casper. So really excited today to have Jason and Ishita on the show. So both are traditional artists creating abstract art that's inspired by Cubism and abstract expressionism. Before we start, I'd like to invite Espresso to tell us the story with Angels Wing for our new listeners.
Yeah, happy to do that. So we're the Angels Wing. We're founded by friends. We met through the MetaAngels project, and we all found each other driven by this passion to showcase independent artists and their art and helping them gain traction and stand out in this fairly crowded NFT market with lots of projects screaming from the top of the mountain all the time. So we have made a virtual gallery with a collection of art from the artists, and really seeing how this collection and this kind of curation can cross-pollinate viewership and help artists reach collectors. And above everything, we're a community of friends, both artists and collectors, and we have these weekly spaces, which we love. And by the way, we have anniversary this week. June can present afterwards. So just want to mention that these spaces are recorded. We publish to YouTube and all of the podcast apps and channels. Thank you, Johannes, for all the hard work getting that done. So if any artists are interested in joining or hearing more, join our Discord or check out our Linktree in the bio. All the information is there.
Thank you for the introduction, Espresso. So this is our 24th space, and we started this journey exactly 6 months ago, right? It's what you have been referring to as anniversary.
Yes. Yes. So happy that we have been doing this for 6 months already. And it's going strong, so that's great.
Yeah. So hi, Jason. Welcome. Very happy to have you here on this episode. Been admiring your art since a long time, and so yeah, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really happy to be here.
Would you like to start introducing yourself and tell us a bit first about your background and what it means to you to be an artist?
Yeah, sure. I'm a full-time artist thanks to the wonderful NFTs and in the community. I've been creating art pretty much my entire life, but within the last, I don't know, I'd say 3 years or so, that's when I really got into abstract art and into cubism. But being an artist it's my entire world. It's the way that I deal with life.
I really enjoy your newsletter, by the way, and blog articles you write. And I remember that you've been referring to anxiety that you mentioned on your blog and how art actually helped you to deal with that. Do you want to elaborate a bit?
Anxiety and mental health have been at the forefront of my artwork. It's just the way that I'm able to tune out the world and focus just on my art. And it's really helped me. It's helped my anxiety. It's helped me with my mental health. And it's helped me with having panic attacks, something that that kind of came on all of a sudden a few years ago. And I discovered my artwork was a form of therapy for me. And it still is today. And I do write up about anxiety and about mental health. I've even released a coloring book, an adult coloring book, to help people deal with anxiety and unplug from the modern world and put your phone down and do something that's analog for a while.
Yeah, the process of creating art is very calming in itself. I can totally relate to that. But I was wondering how you, because this entire space, particularly the NFT space, it's something that is running kind of 24/7 and can basically trigger anxiety on its own. So I was wondering how you're dealing with that part.
Normally Sundays are my unplugged day. I don't get on my phone. I don't read Instagram or anything like that, because you're right. It is 24/7 and it's overwhelming when you're constantly, you know, we're not designed to be constantly connected. When we are like this, it really plays on your mental health big time. And I think it's funny because sometimes if you're selling really well and you're getting all these dopamine hits, your teaser selling, your physical art selling, whatever, and everything's great. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of shifts and things start to slow down, but you're still active on Twitter nonstop, it really messes with your head.
Yeah, so it's something to be aware of with time. I think like a lot of your pieces, I really like the depth of your pieces. And so when I look at your pieces and I read the description, so really, it really speaks to me. And so I was wondering how, when you start to create a piece, is this more like an intuitive process or do you plan things out in advance? Maybe I should add that Jason actually created with a variety of different medium, from ink to watercolor, and I think also digital art, if I'm right. Tell us a bit about all that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I do create in a whole bunch of different media. So my preferred is pen and ink, but I paint in oil, paint in acrylic, and I also love digital art. But everything that I create, it's completely intuitive. When I go and I attack a new piece, I don't have any kind of plan or anything beforehand. And it keeps me guessing the entire time. I have no idea what it's going to look like at the very end. Because I don't have any kind of expectations, it sounds silly, but I don't have any stress involved with the creative process. Before I got into abstract art and it became my sole focus, I created portraits and figurative art. And with portraiture, if you sit there and you work 8 hours on a portrait, but at the end of the portrait, this portrait needs to look like this person. And then you get to the very end and there's something off of the portrait and you're like, oh man, I just wasted 8 hours and I can't fix this. There's stress involved in that. However, with the work that I create, because it is intuitive, there's no stress. For me personally, there's no stress level involved. And I love that.
Yeah, I can understand that. Is this the reason why you're drawn to abstract art? And what is the reason that you particularly like the cubist style?
That's a really good question. I don't really have a good answer for you. It just happened. When I started creating it, I didn't say, okay, I'm going to do cubist art. It just happened. I will say, though, however, and it's pretty evident with my artwork, that I am a fan of Picasso and other cubist artists. That influence definitely has come through in my artwork. But when I started out, it wasn't like I'm going to just create cubist art.
You actually have this current offer on your website that everyone can get a free art print. Let us share this on space. So actually, I also got a print, like just the bigger one, and just arrived there. I still need to frame it, so thank you.
Thank you. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you got one. Doing these prints, I love this. I love being able to share my art. Even if I'm giving it away, just knowing that people have my art, my physical art in their home, it's great. This is just a way for me to get my art like out into the world. It's really like I've given away, I don't know, over 200 prints. In fact, today when we finish up the spaces, I have to go pack another 30 prints to ship out next week. So I love doing this. And I give people the option if they want to, they can get the free print and that's great. There is an option to upgrade if they wanted to get a larger print or they wanted to get a collection of the 4 pieces from my inner piece collection. But there's no pressure there. I love doing it pushing for a while longer and we'll see how it goes.
That's so generous of you. Does this offer only apply to national shipping or do you also ship
worldwide?
Okay.
It's
worldwide. That's great.
In fact, I've got a lot going out next week that are going to like Madrid. I got some that are going to all over France. I've got some going to Germany. So they're going all over the place. I've got some going to Australia, I believe. I got them going everywhere.
That's amazing. So guys, you heard it. You can get from prints too. So Espresso, you have a question. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. That's an amazing way to get your art out there. My question is, so looking at your art and your various pieces and collections, as you mentioned, there's a kind of inspiration by Picasso. I was hoping you maybe could elaborate a bit on that. And I also wonder if you consider these motifs or what kind of, since you're using eyes in a lot of these pieces, and that kind of draws my focus to try to interpret what kind of human figure this is.
That's a great question. My influence from Picasso, I think that started, like the influence started when I was young, probably maybe early high school when I first learned about who Picasso was and like other artists from that time period. Like right now, I've got a huge collection of like Picasso books. I constantly go through looking for inspiration, looking for color palettes, looking for that kind of stuff. So that influence is definitely there. I remember the first time I saw a Picasso piece in an art museum, and I was just like in awe, just looking at this painting. And as far as like the motifs for the pieces, they're all people. And it's a lot of times it's the same person, it's just different angles and different sides of the person. And sometimes I'll have multiple people into one image. And I think a lot of the reason there's people in my art is because I do have a figurative background. And so when I create my artwork, because it is intuitive, so I start off with this random continuous line, and then I start picking out like shapes and lines that kind of interest me. And for some reason, I see eyes, I see noses, I see mouths. It's kind of like pareidolia. So pareidolia is when you're looking up at the sky in clouds, and you see a shark in the cloud, and then your friend might see a person yelling in the clouds or something to that effect. And that's how I create my artwork, is I just see faces within the pieces. Some are more figurative than others, and others are a lot more abstract, and it's a little harder to, I think, to pick out the different parts of the people.
Yeah, thank you. So that reference to that effect is spot on. I think looking at pieces, we try to find patterns and meaning, try to interpret. And it's so interesting when it's hard to interpret. That's really cool. Makes you look at the art a lot longer.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Jason, do you want to share the story behind, I think this is one of your favorite pieces. So when I look at it, it reminds me very much of the Guernica piece by Picasso in terms of the composition of geometric shapes and, of course, the monochromatic color palette.
Yeah, that piece of Beckham Fleur, A Woman with a Flower, it's my self-proclaimed masterpiece. It's one of those pieces I will have a hard time parting with when the time comes. And it's one of those pieces that was created intuitively, and it was actually a little different because prior to that, everything was strictly just black and white. There weren't any other gray values or tones in my artwork. And for some reason, I said, let me try to lay down some gray tones and see what happens. That piece is what came out of it. I think I spent 3 or 4 days solid working on it. And that's what happened. To this date, it's still my favorite piece.
When do you actually know when a piece is done? I think it's probably just something much more related to intuition, but I was still curious how it's from your perspective.
I don't think they're ever done. Honestly, I have to find a point where I can stop. But I'm never really completely satisfied with them. But I can definitely, and I've done it, I've definitely overworked pieces, but I never really feel like they're finished. So my whole thing behind creating this artwork is I work it to a certain point and say, okay, you need to be done. I try to make sure that I don't worry about if the artwork is good or bad. I put it out into the world and people will let me know if it's good or bad. If they buy it, it's good. If they don't buy it, then it's probably not great. But I will say also that the pieces that I don't like that much, those are normally the ones that sell for some reason. The pieces that I will work on and I love it, I'm in love with the piece, I still own.
That's probably a reason why you can keep your favorite pieces. So I was wondering, so some of your pieces are very colorful and you have some are more like monochromatics. Is this like a mood that you are in? What influences the way the expression, or is this also just something random that you decide?
I want to say it's mood, but it might be more random, to be honest with you. I prefer monochrome. I prefer the simplicity of it. I want you to be able to focus more on the shapes and the symbolism of the piece and not focus so much more on the palette. But then there are times where I'm, especially with my digital art, all my digital art is very colorful. It's a whole different thing. But maybe it's just got more to do with my mood.
Johannes, you have a question?
Yes. So I have the following question. I'm happy that we have again a traditional artist on the podcast, because that's something I'm really interested in. Can you tell us a little bit how you came to NFTs and how much room they are now taking in your daily work? So would you consider yourself more a traditional artist, or how much time are they now occupying for you, these NFTs?
I think that I just consider myself just an artist. I don't really like to break it down that I'm a traditional artist or that I'm an NFT artist. I'm an artist that works in the NFT space. Like, the way that I came to NFTs was crazy. I was very hesitant about entering the space. This was around February of last year. As everybody knows, Gabe Weiss is a friend of mine, and he had not been in the space very long himself, but he said, Jason, you need to get involved in this. And I honestly, I didn't understand it. It was, I'm an old dude, so I didn't understand the whole aspect of what NFTs were. I thought it was just JPEGs, and I honestly thought it was just a fad. But I decided to go ahead and just give it a shot. I put my first NFT out there in the world, and nothing. And I went, okay, this isn't good. I decided to go ahead and I put some more NFTs. This was around March of last year, so I went ahead and I put some more NFTs, and then I was around April. I sold my first NFT, and I was like over the moon. I'm like, I can't believe I sold one. And then nothing again sold until I think it was late May, early June. Then I had a person come in and they collected everything that I had on OpenSea, and I was like over the moon. And that's what started my whole trajectory for me with NFTs, was that person coming in and buying up the whole collection.
That's a great story. A big wheel swept the floor for you. That's a big dream for a lot of artists. Great.
Yeah, it was definitely a victory. And I'm still here today, and I'm not going anywhere. I love NFTs. I love the community. It's changed my life. Like, I went from working as a shift worker, working 12-hour shifts, 12-hour rotating shifts, between holidays, to being a full-time artist now. My dream has come true. And now I work harder than I ever did for any company.
Congratulations, Jason. That's very wonderful to hear. I think your Genesis collection on OpenSea, it's sold out.
That's right. It's sold out now. Yeah. I will be dropping some new work into it next week, and I'm super excited about it.
Amazing. Can't wait to see it. Casper, you had a question.
Thanks, Jason, for joining us on the show. Really honored to have an artist as established as you. I see on OpenSea the total volume that's been generated, it's in excess of 200 ETH. Wow. Congratulations. With this kind of experience and going through that cycle since your early days, I was wondering if you could share a little bit more about the experience of the highs and lows that you experienced, and as well as your interactions with the different marketplaces. I see that your pieces are available on OpenSea Foundation and Known Origin. From perspective of both a collector as well as potentially for early artist friends, your experience on the different marketplaces, and also maybe some of your tips on how to work with editions and pricing.
Wow, that's, I think we could have a full discussion just on this. There are definitely highs and lows within this space. I mean, that's just the nature of it, I think. Right now, we are very obviously in a bear market right now. So it's very hard, and everybody is hustling to get their art seen, and you have more and more artists that are entering this every day, which is wonderful. I'm constantly onboarding new artists into the space, but you've got more and more people in there vying for the limited amount of collectors, you know, attention. So it's definitely a challenge. What was your other question? I'm so sorry.
Asking about your experience dealing with putting your pieces up on different marketplaces, your collections on Known Origin, Foundation, and OpenSea. Would you advise like new artists to start with OpenSea?
I normally have them start on OpenSea. I feel like it's one of the best places to start with. It's just my personal opinion. I've had plenty of people tell me that they contradict my advice, but I usually will start people out on OpenSea. And it might be because I started on OpenSea and I've had success with that platform. I don't really do a whole lot on Foundation, and there's no specific reason behind it. For me, I think it's more to do with all the fees that are associated with it. I like Known Origin. I think it's a very streamlined platform. It's very easy to use. So I think for new folks, it would probably either be OpenSea or when Known Origin opens up their applications, I'd have people to apply there.
Okay. And just a quick follow-up on my question on editions, and because I see some of your pieces are one of ones, and then you have editions as well. Is this more of a strategy that you're taking to acquire the market, or is this something that you've always had?
When I first began, I was strictly just one of ones. And I do one of ones. I like the rarity of them. But I think editions do have a place too, because you're able to share more of your art with more people. It's just like with me giving my free prints out. I'm able to put more of them out into the world. And it's also a way for you to obtain more collectors. Pricing is difficult. Pricing is difficult for me even to this day. I wish that I had some like grand strategy, but as an artist that makes his living from this, I do have to occasionally adjust my prices just to get sales. I try not to undercut anybody, because I do have collectors that, you know, especially like when Ethereum was at its peak back in November, when it was like over, was it $4,000 or $5,000? So like I said, pricing is difficult.
Coming back to art. So Jason, you also started a couple months ago another project, Bad Boy Bobby. And do you want to tell us a bit about that project?
Oh, yes. Yes, I, Bad Boy Bobby is, it's my passion project. I'm definitely a cubist. I love my abstract work, but Bad Boy Bobby is very near and dear to my heart. So he is a character that I created when I was about 10 years old. Now, mind you, I'm 43 years old. So he's been a part of my life for a very long time. When I was a kid, I would draw comic strips and cartoons, and he was always one of those characters that would get into trouble. I don't know, for some reason here a couple months ago, I started drawing him on the iPad, and I never drew him in color when I was a kid. It was always black and white, and I put him on the iPad and put him in color and using Procreate, and there's so many things you can do and add depth to him, and I just fell in love with him all over again, and I had this whole cast of characters created, so that's something. The project right now is a little dormant just because I've had so much work with my Cubist work, NFTs, and with commissions, like physical artwork going out. I've just been swamped. But it's definitely something that I'm going to jump back into pretty hard very, very soon, just because it's something that I love and that's been with me since I was a kid.
Yeah, I really love to see the diversity in your creative expression. Yeah, let's move on to Ishita. Hi, Ishita. Welcome to our podcast. I'm so happy to have you with us today. Do you want to start to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background and when you heard the first time about NFTs?
Hi, thank you so much for having us. Thank you so much, and big hi to Jason, and wonderful to meet in this new community and get to know everybody. This conversation on art just excites me very much. So thank you again for having this. It's an honor to be part of a podcast with you all and Jason, of course. I've been a contemporary traditional artist for over 3 decades now. I've been a trained artist. I went down the art school route. I have a bachelor's in fine arts, and I also studied visual communication. So my background has been deep in the arts for 30 years or so. My day job for a very long time was in broadcast design and working on your television screen. So my day job was for designing things for that you see every day on the news, for elections, sports, weather, that is designed by somebody like me. And I've worked with some of the biggest television networks in the world. But I've also continued moonlighting as an artist, as a traditional artist, for a very long time. And I moved to Canada. My roots come from India, and I moved to Canada about 12 years ago. When I moved here, I decided that I did want to get back to my first love, which was the contemporary arts, which was traditional media. And I decided to launch my own little art business called Soul Curry Art. It was Soul Curry because it is art is my soul. This is who I am. And curry is because it is comfort food. It's where I come from. It's a bit of where my roots, how it originated. I brought with it a little flavor of fun, a little bit of spiciness, my color palette that comes from India, but also my whole repertoire as an artist for the last couple of decades. I was no stranger to digital art because I was used to doing that for my day job for 20 years. So I started to try and bring a little bit of digital into my physical work and physical and digital vice versa. So I started trying to understand how to bridge the two worlds together. And I started hearing about NFTs pretty much exactly around the same time Jason did. Pre-2021, I happened to be in a clubhouse room that Farouk was hosting. And I started hearing about NFTs and I was hooked. And I literally went down the Clubhouse University. I called myself a PhD of Clubhouse. So I learned the ropes there. And I found it very exciting what I was hearing. The fact that there was provenance going back to the artist. The fact that there was transparency on the blockchain. The fact that there was royalty in perpetuity was something that got me very excited. Because a few of my largest pieces of work have been plagiarized in the past. I have been trying to find a way to safeguard my IP, my copyright, and my intellectual property that I've worked so hard to develop. So NFTs got my curiosity piqued, and I went down the rabbit hole, and I've just enjoyed the ride so much. I found when I came into the space as a woman, especially as an Asian woman, there were not too many people like me. There were not too many people that looked like me, sounded like me. If I had a question, I didn't know whom to go to. I learned the ropes. I made mistakes. I retracked my steps and did it all over again, but slowly and steadily, I figured it out. And then I decided to think of how could I help this space rather than this space help me. I started hosting spaces. I started hosting Clubhouse rooms. I started doing free workshops just to tell people about why I was excited about it. And yeah, so it's been fast forward 18, 19 months now. And this is my full-time job as well. I work both in traditional and the NFT space. Like Jason, I like calling myself an artist and I dabble in both the media, the traditional and the digital media. It's just been a whole lot of fun getting to meet the community and learning and growing myself as an artist, because I feel like it has opened me up to so many experiences, so many different kinds of art that I had probably not even considered before. So it's been quite a ride. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this wonderful story with us, Ishita. I'm really glad to see that you went back to your artist route again and being able to make a living from it. Is Clubhouse still a thing, or... I thought the NFT space is all Twitter and Discord.
Yeah, unfortunately, Clubhouse was was literally my comfort zone. I love Clubhouse. I really learned so much there. But I think Clubhouse is pretty much it's on the back burner now. I don't think I'm not even on Clubhouse. I don't even just put on the app sometimes, turn on the app. It's all Twitter and Discord and just hanging out with the community IRL now that things have opened up. So yeah, it's been more Twitter than anything.
Yeah, I think I met you for the first time on a Twitter space. I think it was about branding, and I really loved the enthusiasm you've been talking about, like art and your generosity sharing your insights with the community. I'm so happy that we got a chance to talk again. Coming back to art, so your art is influenced, I would say, by several type of styles. And I think in some of your pieces really stand out the way that they are influenced by modern mid-century design, which is very dear to my heart. But given your background, since that you've been basically living most of your life in India and only moved to Canada, I wondered how these more Western influences influence the way you express yourself artistically.
That's a great question. I feel like we are in tune with our surroundings when we're growing up, and our formative years and what we are exposed to then has a lot to do with our journey as an artist, our choices, our lines, our colors, and everything that comes with it. I do feel like I was exposed to a lot of different kinds of art. Like, India is so rich in its colors. It has a lot of symbolism, imagery. It has a lot of figurative art, miniature paintings, and it has influences from pretty much all over the world. We have Arabic architecture. We have the Taj Mahal. We have so many kinds of influences in Indian art itself. I grew up studying a lot of, it was called the Bengal School of Art, which parallel at the same time that the Cubist movement and the Abstract Expressionist movement was happening in the West. As an art student, I studied a lot of that. So my influences came both from the Eastern part of the world and the Western side. But I was definitely exposed to a lot of different kinds of art and architecture, Bauhaus, and the late modernism that came after the Industrial Revolution was something that shaped design and art culture going forward. I tried to understand how art and design melded together, because my day job was in design and my passion was in art. So trying to find a balance between where art ends and design starts and design ends, that was very interesting. I also studied, my final year MFA dissertation was on Picasso and the Cubist movement. So I studied that on a real deep level. So I went into whys and hows and what was the Cubist philosophy and why did they do what they did and what was the evolution of Cubism like. So I call myself a madman modernist. So what that means is I draw inspiration from the 60s and the 70s. From the turn of the century, from Industrial Revolution, from the Bauhaus movement, the shapes that come from there. But I also love bringing in the positive and the negative, the spaces, how things fit in together, how things break up together and then come back to form a homogeneous, complete unit is something that I keep finding myself exploring over and over again. And I love people and observing people and seeing what is said and unsaid, finding things in between the lines, in between spaces is something that I love exploring. I've been an introvert all my life, so I've been more of the observer, and that has helped me find that is not obvious, But at the same time, obviously, it's this dichotomy of things, this push and pull, this dark and light. So I've explored that a lot. So I call myself a global citizen. I've been exposed to all kinds of art. I've studied architecture. I've studied a little bit of photography, screen printing. I've studied sculpture. There's a sculptural quality to some of the shapes and the lines that I make. It has been a lot of fun just trying to bring and assimilate all of it. At times, I can't articulate it well, but I can feel it. It's not about what I want to do, but it's about how I feel, and that's how it comes out in the pieces that I make.
It's so fascinating to hear. Johannes, you have a question?
Yeah, hello. In your timeline, I have seen a person where the hair was cutted, and then there was a painting from you painted on the head. Could you please explain this to me, and where can I get this haircut?
It would be very funny. It was Instagram is a fun place, and it's also a very visual place where people discover art and art styles. I think it was one of my most successful posts. I had posted one of my pieces on Instagram that had over 50,000 likes. So I don't know what happened, and that kind of blew up. One person decided to turn that into a hairstyle, and I found it absolutely fascinating because I've had people turn my art into tattoos, but that was the very first time I actually saw somebody do that on hair. And there was like tremendous respect, because I just to do that with a brush on somebody's hair with those kinds of colors just blew my mind. I reached out to them and I was like, really, I just wanted to congratulate them. And the fact that art inspires people in so many different ways. Who would have thought a couple of years ago? I certainly wouldn't have thought that my art could be on people's hair, on their skin, on their nails. And art is so much more than just a pretty picture. And that's what I love about how art connects us in infinite ways. It's just an honor sometimes to see where people can take the art as something that they see on an Instagram feed. So that happened by somebody discovering the art on Instagram. And it was a wonderful conversation that I had with the same person. I think that gentleman, he's available on Instagram if you want to do that to your hair as well.
Sheeta, I saw that you also started to experiment with AI art generators. I think it was DALL-E, if I'm right. Do you want to elaborate a bit more on that?
Oh, yes. I've been thinking about, especially being in the NFT space, hearing the talk of technology, hearing the innovations that are happening in this space. Just trying to see where art meets technology has been something that I've been really interested in exploring myself over the last couple of months. It was not just about bringing my same style over and over again to the space, but I also wanted to push myself as an artist to do things that I had not thought of about before. And I really exposed myself to what the NFT space offered in terms of how I could see myself progressing as an artist. And I felt like learning and growing is such an important part of an artist's journey because, and I'll be honest, I'm turning 50 tomorrow. I'm living my best artistic life right now. That means I'm doing something right. I would never want to stop learning, never want to stop being curious, never want to stop innovating and pushing whatever I can do and learning at the same time, because it is through this learning process that I have the most fun. And that's what I feel like I can push myself. So whether it is exploring AI, which is fascinating, it is absolutely fascinating. It has evolved into, it's something that I'm enjoying so much. But at the same time, I definitely want to retain my own style, my own flavor in it. So it is a process of not just relying on the machine, but also bringing my own touch to it and just keep going back and forth between AI and coming back to the traditional media or the digital media and redrawing it and going back and forth again and again, just to see where that can go and how much I can push it while retaining my same style. That is very exciting. I've also been working on a lot of 3D learning. Like I'm trying to learn what exactly is machine learning. How do I push myself with 3D? How do I work with animation? Those are some of the things that I feel like I've really opened myself up to exploring because I'm in the NFT space. And had I not been in this space, I would not have probably taken the time to do it. So I feel like there is a lot of excitement around growing as an artist.
I really love your attitudes towards the exploration of new tools. Casper, you had a question.
Yeah, first of all, Sheeta, happy birthday. It's such a milestone. It's where I am now. It's past midnight, so it's officially your birthday where I am. So I hope you have a really enjoyable day out and may all your wishes come true. And it's really inspiring what you've just said about pushing yourself to the limit. Like Steve Jobs said, always just stay hungry, stay foolish. And I really subscribe to that as well. And it's really evident in your work. I just wanted to ask about your experimentation as well with animation, because I've seen some of your best pieces. And I'm looking at In the Meadows, Flames, Myriad of Dreams. They're all such beautiful animations. Was it something that you already had in your repertoire before, or was it a transition you had to make when you came into NFTs?
Thank you so much, firstly, for the wishes. I really appreciate it. And stay hungry, stay foolish is my favorite quote. I have to say that. Because you need to make mistakes, you need to pivot, you need to keep innovating to stay that, you know, to keep satiating that hunger. And I've really had such a wonderful time. So thank you for recognizing that. And for animation, like for my day job, I was exposed to animation. I used to do stuff that you see on TV, title sequences. I used to do edits for news channels. I've done a lot of work that you all have probably seen on your screens for news networks around the world. So animation was not something that was new, but also it was new at the same time because I had never done it in my work before. So understanding what I wanted to animate, how much I want to animate, do I even want to animate a piece, was something that I had to struggle with in the beginning. And in the beginning when I came in, I would see a lot of 3D pieces. I would see a lot of GIF animation. And I'm like, how does my art fit in? I was ready to do animation and try animation when I felt that the piece would demand it. I didn't want to do every single piece as an animated piece, or I did not want to just do animation for the sake of animation. If I felt that the piece could be enhanced or I could be saying something more through animation, then I was ready to explore that. And again, it was learning. I've collaborated with some musicians in this space. I've collaborated with up-and-coming musicians. I've collaborated with other up-and-coming artists. And that's where, again, the learning and the growing has happened. And this flow of exchange from other artists, just to hear another artist's visions, views, thoughts, work in progress, how they work behind the scene, what their philosophy is, especially Jason, because Jason and I have been following each other way before NFTs happened. Many years we've been following each other. So just to see how far we've come and how far we've come together as artists is a really rewarding experience. I can look back and say that, yeah, we started somewhere and we've evolved somewhere else. And that's, again, such a beautiful part of life's journey that I never take for granted. So I'll always be learning and growing and pushing.
Thanks for sharing, Ishida. Once again, really beautiful work and inspirational story and sharing what drives you. I think I'm feeling inspired. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'll tell you one more little thing. That one of the reasons I started my art business was to inspire my daughter. My daughter was, I think, 9 around that time. And I wanted her to be able to see that you can be anything at any age, at any time. You just have to be putting in a little bit of creativity, thought, and time. And it was not just about coming in with something, but also learning. Take the time to learn. Be the best at what you're trying to do. We challenge ourselves, my daughter and I challenge ourselves to learn something new every year. Whether it is something very small or something very big, it could be just something as small as just knitting or learning to do a stitch or learning to draw a line a certain way. But we challenge ourselves every summer to learn something new. I've learned jewelry making in the process. I've learned how to do pottery or drawn ceramics. Things have been just so much fun because of that. This is something that I feel like I will continue doing for as long as I want. And I hope it inspires people to. I keep telling myself, what's the worst that can happen? You'll fail at something that you've done, but you would have learned something. You would have invested something for yourself and for your soul. And that's what I definitely believe in, that you invest art and creativity for your soul first, and then you project it out in the world. Yeah, thank you so much, Casper.
Very beautifully said. Thanks, Ishida.
I think we all love your enthusiasm and positivity and your way of looking at life. And so thank you so much sharing this joy with us on the space. And it's very inspiring to hear that the way how you encourage your daughter to explore new things and just to enjoy the process and everything. So we're coming close to the end of the space, and I have a final question to our artist. I think it's pretty natural for an artist to have phases where you have doubts about yourself, the art you create, and also maybe phases where you feel less motivated to create. I was wondering how the two of you are dealing with that, since you've been in art for such a long time, and whether you have any advices to share with other artists.
I think doubt is inevitable as an artist, and there are times that we feel like where we just don't feel like creating or we're not inspired. But for me, I create every single day. Whether I feel like it or not, I put pen to paper or paintbrush to canvas every single day. I find that I become inspired while I'm working. So that would be my advice to anybody, would be just work every day, whether you feel like it or not.
That's a great attitude. Just do it.
Yeah, and I think that's the best advice ever. One of the things that doubt is part of the process. There are times where, you know, I'm intimidated by a blank piece of paper. And I just shared something the other day on Twitter. It was like, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes improvement. And improvement makes you become the best at what you practice. So that is something I believe in, that there is no perfection. Nobody can ever say that this is perfect or something is perfect or somebody is perfect or anything is perfect. There is no perfection. We all fall within a range of what we love. That range sometimes is something that we have to keep achieving. For me as well, I draw something every single day. There's not a single moment that I'm not drawing or thinking of drawing or doing something creative with my hands, because my mind and my hand and my heart are always working. There are times when I don't feel inspired. But one thing I definitely do is I leave something unfinished on my desk every night before I go to sleep. It doesn't matter what it is. I leave something unfinished or something that I would love to get up in the morning and come back and be excited about. I love getting up in the morning, going to my studio, sitting at my desk and revisiting something that I've done the day before and looking at it with fresh eyes, looking at it with fresh feelings. So when I come back the next day, I feel more inspired. And again, exactly what Jason said, inspiration finds you when you're working. That one big strike of inspiration is very rare. So you need to be constantly doing it for the inspiration to strike. That's it. So just keep doing what you're doing. Try to be, just practice what makes you happy. Perfection will come along the way.
Thank you. It's really so inspiring to hear the two of you talking about art and the creative process. So I really appreciate that you took the time to join our space today. So thank you so much. And to Ishita, yeah, wish you a happy birthday and all the best for your new decade of life. I wish you all the happiness that you can find in this world. We're coming to the end of space. Have a great Sunday, everyone. Bye.
It's been an honor. Bye. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you very much.